Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 328, episode 5, the grand finale. Woo! Of season 328 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. My body is a resonance chamber, according to our guest today. So
we believe
just a little exploring the ranges from up here to...
Not just to scream, to sing, baby, to sing.
It's Friday, March 8th, 2024.
Friday. Yes, that means it's National Peanut Cluster Day. National, hey, shout out to all the editors out there. It's National Proofreading Day. You know what I mean? Proofread your shit. Proofread your work. You know what I mean? And also, Jack, shout out to your birth state. It's National Oregon Day.
Oregon.
Yeah.
How about that? Mm-hmm. It's national, like, 3 times 8 is 24, so it's that day of the month when the first two numbers make the last one. So shout out to basic multiplication.
Is that a thing, or are you just doing, like, beautiful mind type shit right now?
Yeah, like the dumbest beautiful mind shit. 2 plus 2 equals 4, 4 plus 2 equals 6. Like, I've got the John Nash thing, but it's like the most basic math.
3
Apple
minus
starts
2
with
equals
A.
1. A, 1, 1
kindergarten,
first letter.
Kindergarten beautiful mind. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. It's Murder in the Backyard. Crows are looking for some food. Almonds gonna make these goddamn birds my friends. That is a courtesy of Vicky Sage, Murder on the Dance Floor, about the murder of crows that I want to befriend in my backyard. I got some wild advice from frequent guest Ben Bolin about how to befriend a murder of crows. I should have just, like, gone directly to him, right? Like that.
It felt a little, like, spicy, where he's like, bro, how are you gonna ask about corvids and not hit me up? The fuck is wrong with you?
Corvid really... Every time I hear corvid, I think of your New Zealand accent saying the
Aussie,
word COVID.
Yeah. Corvid. Yeah. Corvid. Yeah.
Corvid.
Corvid 19.
I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. Old Leader. He's a man whose fingers are so old. They are ice cold. Do 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 do. Old finger. Bah, bah, bah. That's obviously Shirley Bassey from Goldfinger, the titular song from the Goldfinger film. Shout out Hannah Ram, with you, Hannah Soltis, for that one. Because, you know, that's...
Finger. Yeah.
That was like when I was first like, you know, messing around with making beats. That was like one of the first tracks that I sampled because the song starts off with this wild brass hit. It's like, bah, bah. And I was like, oh, my Just Blaze shit back then. But anyway, enough
like
about
trying
me.
Trying to make friends with some Corvids with that wild brass hit vocalization.
Come to me.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a wildly talented Ethio-American vocalist, songwriter, composer. Her most recent album was named among the best albums of the year by Bandcamp and the Sunday Times. She's performed on stages all over the world, the host of a podcast, radio series, live show. Please welcome the brilliantly talented MacLeet Hidalgo!
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you, y'all.
Returning champion.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm really good. I'm feeling sparkly today. What can I say?
All right. We like that. We people don't know this, but we demand our guests sparkle.
Yes. You are covered in sparkles.
Yes. Sparkling. Yes.
I am.
How's the weather? Our rider.
How's the weather in the Bay Area?
It has been raining. But today's kind of all right. Yeah, windy.
We got a peak of sun. So, yeah, I don't like that the weather app, like, suddenly be like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a torrential downpour in, like, an hour.
Yeah.
It's not even an hour. It's like, it'll be like, it's all clear, and yet my socks are already soaking from being out for 2 minutes.
New AI technology where your socks get pre-wet before it even rains.
Just to let you know.
Aren't wet the socks weather? The worst?
Oh.
They're just the worst. They just ruin your day anyway, so.
Yeah, that, and I think I was talking about this, I forget where, but when your shoes get so wet to the insoles and they're gushing, that's also one of my most hated sensations.
We were talking about that on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack got mad boosties because there was a Converse shoe that was Nike, you're going to put air in the bottom of your shoes?
Yep.
Well, we're going to put liquid in the bottom of our shoes. juice.
We call it react juice.
And it was
juice.
Like, no,
wait,
people
no,
don't
no,
like
they
it.
Didn't. That sounds,
yeah, they did.
That sounds gross.
Squash. Yeah. Squash. Yeah. Like it just... That's not what people are looking for when they're running around on the basketball court is wet shoes.
But that's the thing. They never made it. That wasn't really like the promise, you know, just more that it would get, I don't know, whatever, that somehow the liquid reacted to your
juice
movements.
Would react.
You're trying to bring it
juice.
Back to what the brand intended.
No, the physics never made any sense to me whatsoever.
No,
that. It was just
there's a commercial. This one's with J.R. Ryder from 1994.
Try these new Converse shoes with react juice. They're super light. They're perfect for you.
And he comes out.
But then he's just dunking a bunch. It's not clear what the juice is doing.
Oh, it turned him into a scary dog.
A werewolf?
That he's a wolf. Yeah, he's a wolf.
The slab. That's some game face you got there, kid.
Anyways. The way we were selling things to people. Hey, yeah, kid. Yeah, you got the react juice and you turned to a werewolf.
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's good for basketball.
I respect it. I respect that there's still room for like strange looking 68-year-old men on TV back then. You know, now that would have been Chris Hemsworth trying to get him to wear the.
Rather like a retired butcher from New Jersey.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. MacLeet, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we'll be talking about in a little bit. We're going to get to meet a new, just completely broken brain has dropped.
Freak of the week.
Mark Robinson, the GOP candidate for North Carolina governor. And man, just a murderer's row of beliefs that we've got here.
Truly. Now, it just says a lot when even like the people on the right are like, this guy's
a little out there.
Have electability problems. So we'll dive into those.
We're going to talk about the World War II photo of the sailor dipping the woman over backwards, kissing her in Times Square on V-Day. I guess it's called VJ Day in Times Square. It is controversial because a lot of questions about consent in that one.
Yeah.
Not really questions, just facts about consent that people who are familiar with the picture who, you know, don't care about things like consent or just like, shut up. So we're going to talk about that because that's been in the news lately because of the VA banned it from their hospitals. And then we're like, psych, we just wanted to make sure you knew that we weren't going to ban it. And so,
right. Just glad you heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about music in the hospital, because hospitals, apparently, if they were willing to be a little bit more musical and a little less beepy, fewer people would die. So all of that, plenty more. But first, Macleet, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
All right. I was just searching. There's like a new Apple Plus show called Constellation. And I was searching, is Constellation horror? Because I started watching it, and then there are these certain sounds, and you're like, wait a minute. Is this sci-fi, or is this like sci-fi horror? Because I cannot do horror movies. I can't. I don't want to talk about ghosts. I don't want to watch nothing about ghosts. I don't want to watch nothing about some creepy stuff that's going to give me nightmares, or like when I wake up in the middle of the night, I think about some kind of no horror movies. Yeah. So yeah, is Constellation horror?
But is it horror?
Well, I didn't keep watching.
One, I'll tell you that
the score was enough. You're like, nope.
Well, you hear like there are these sounds. It's like, oh, this is a horror soundtrack. Then one site said yes, and I was out. I was like, no, I can't.
Oh, wow.
That's it. I can't do horror. No horror.
Yeah, a lot of talk of ghostly voices. Ugh. Yeah.
Can't do it.
I don't like to unwind to that kind of stuff either.
Where does the film Alien fall for you? Have you seen the film Alien?
I have seen it. And
is it horror or sci-fi?
Well, it's a horror. It's a hyphenated horror sci-fi.
It's a multi-hyphenate.
I will say that, you know, it's a little bit more thriller to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's on the other side of the line, but I just get creeped out. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night a lot, because I have a 4.5-year-old. And then those things, they just like that's not what I want to be thinking about at 3 a.m.
Xenomorph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having a young child really puts you in a lot of horror movie settings. Like, because you're walking around late at night, you don't get as much sleep. You'll wake up and there will be a child standing at your bedside just like staring at you like a horror movie. Like, that shit happens to me all the time. Oh, Jesus Christ. Like, what
I used
are
to
you
do that.
Doing?
Yeah. I was checking if my mom and my grandma were breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would, and then I'd go back to bed. And I remember my mom, like, she would catch me a couple of times. She'd be like, please, it scares me.
It's super
really
creepy. And they whisper.
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah.
You held a mirror up to their mouth, and when they fogged it up, you wrote red rum on it. What? I was just making sure you were still breathing.
Sure, you're breathing. Gosh.
It's definitely over some kind of line, but yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So is it the supernatural? Like, that's what you don't fuck with?
Yes. I don't fuck with that.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
So you're fine with like a regular human guy murderer terrorizing people? Like, is that okay? Or is that still horror? Like, and you're like, eh.
Just morally, you're fine with that, it sounds like?
Yeah.
It sounds like you're going to co-sign
proponent?
Serial killers? Wow.
Well,
okay.
What I'll say is I have stopped watching like all of those shows, those like, you know, human killer, blah, 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 true crime. Right. It's all about hurting women. So like that, right. I have stopped. Yeah. I have stopped, but more like, there it is again. Got us just noticing how much it's that, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now maybe I'll do this Constellation challenge or watch it till I go, no. This is,
wait,
this
but
is
what,
no, thank
it.
You.
Do you like horror?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I don't like, I think it's cause like, I'm just such a, like, I'm like THC, the person. Like, I like to be chill. So anything that gets me stressed out, like for entertainment, I'm like, no. Life is already stressful. Right? I need to go to the land of not. You know what I mean?
I always find it interesting that Star Wars is like completely flatlines every time they put it out in China. And one of the reasons people point to is that China doesn't fuck with ghosts. Because and like Star Wars is just like, somebody who died just like pops up and they're like, I'm blue now. And I can like pass along information to you. And apparently the Chinese film going audience is just like, what the fuck? Like won't even countenance it. So right. I'm just saying a little life hack for people who don't fuck with supernatural things, but don't mind a nice little thriller. Check out the box office performance in China to see.
Right. Oh, right. Got it. Yeah.
Got
yeah.
a new benchmark.
Got a new benchmark.
Free it is. Okay. Right. Yeah. Well, I love it if they're more just like, it's really weak writing, to be honest.
Yeah.
That, you know, just like right. so much Deus Ex Machina kind bullshit. Of nonsense.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, I can see that. What is something you think is underrated?
Going to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like three times a week, I've started going to bed at like 8:30. And I know it sounds so early, but I've been on my like 3 days a week of 11 hours of sleep. And I'm just,
wow.
oh my God.
I know.
What?
I know.
I love it.
It's
You're
so...
able to stay in bed that long? You can pull off 11, like that many hours straight of sleep?
I mean, I never used to be able to, but once again, I will return to the 4.5-year-old. What is it about those little creatures that just requires so much energy? I mean, it's amazing, everything, but so much energy that like 8:30 rolls around and I'm like, I'm done.
Absolutely.
This is it.
Yeah. I got in bed at 9:30 last night.
Oh my God.
You can't stay awake. Also, their sleep like rolls over you and just like,
so peaceful. Right. They don't have anxiety yet. It's
yet
except for young Miles Gray, just there who walks over and like make sure you're still breathing.
Yeah, he's got to make dude. Yeah, I've always been kind of an anxious kid. So like, are they alive?
Yeah, no, take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. Like if you're able to sleep 11 hours, goddamn.
I know,
like,
but it's
my hat's off.
Yeah, just a few times a week, a few times a week.
Yeah. Because kids, if you can get on the same schedule as your kids, like, that's crucial.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I start going to bed at 7, like my baby.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, all right, fuck it.
I think it was the 2 years of waking up 10 times a night that did it. Maybe I'm still catching up from that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure.
I feel like that period just, like, ruined my nervous system, and now I just, like, wake up at 4:30 every morning, just like, oh, okay.
All right, everything's okay.
What is what's something you think is overrated?
High heels. 100% overrated. Don't want to wear them. Don't want to think about them. Don't want to see them. My feet, like at one point I had all these high heels. I threw them away and it was so fun. It was oh, this is the time when I actually want to, you know, burn the trash. It was like high heels. It's too much. So overrated.
Did you snap the heel off the shoe like a wishbone? Like in an act of liberation? You're like, ha! Like, give me another pair.
That sounds like it would be a wonderful sense of release.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe next time.
What are you wearing now? What's your foot game like now?
I like fancy sneakers.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm into the fancy sneakers, especially, you know, on stage, whatever, and then boots. That's it. Mm. Boots and fancy sneakers.
Okay, boots.
I was talking to somebody who was like a real, like footwear snob in a way that I hadn't encountered. Where he was like, "Well, see, the thing is with most kids' shoes, the toe box is too narrow. You need to let their toes spread out." And like most of our shoes, you're like walking in a pillow. You can't like grip the ground. You need like shoes that have like barely any, that make you feel like you're walking barefoot. And it all made sense to me. Sounds like a lot of work.
Is that the kind of person who wants you to wear the toes that like the shoes that are like toe shoes?
He did not. Okay. And I asked him a number of times. I was like, but you're trying to get me to wear those toe shoes, right? You're part of that cult that has the
cult
articulated
of the toes
at the end
Set
of the
those toes free.
At the end of the shoe. It's but I truly, based on everything he was saying, I can't imagine a worse thing for a human foot than fucking high heels. Unbelievable. Shouldn't be allowed.
I don't know if you see this. This is a video my friend sent me when they went to a parent-teacher conference of another parent who had leather toe shoes.
Wow.
That's real. Wow.
Those are, and I was like, they look like if Darth Vader was wearing those toe shoes, like the aesthetic of the shoe.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like a costume. It looks like a, looks like a costume.
It's like Christian Bale's Batman, like, became like dropped LSD and like moved to Portland.
Yeah. Yeah, became skin basically. Yeah. Well, you know, I like being barefoot. So like, I'm not like against the idea of like something that mimics that, but part of me is like, I'll just be barefoot. You know,
yeah.
Like I do a lot of barefoot, like around the house or just like if I have to go up the street or something, I'll go to the mailbox in bare feet.
Really?
I mean,
yeah.
So there's no dog poop in your neighborhood. There's no.
I know how to dodge it. Okay. I'm nimble. I'm spry. You know, I can dance around it. But like as a kid growing up like in LA, I just was always barefoot, especially in the summer. So like the blacktop, like my feet like just became accustomed to summer asphalt barefoot. Mm-hmm. And I kind of take that now as a point of pride, although the bottoms of my feet look terrible. They look like Flintstone shits, but whatever.
Flintstone shits.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, but, like, you know, the shits that Flintstones would have. Yeah. Not their
I just thought there was a part of the Flintstones that my brain had blocked out.
Oh, no.
But you're just saying they're like the skin on the bottom of your feet is like 3 inches.
Oh, thick. Yeah. And anytime like I've gone to like, I remember I got like a pedicure once when I was working on a campaign with all the other campaign people. Like it was like right after election. It was on election day. We're like, all right, our work's done. Let's just, we can.
That's we'll a fun way to treat yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool because I'd never done it before. And like all these people I was working with, like, no, go ahead. Come on. They went. And the amount of time they spent on the bottom of my feet, I was like, oh, maybe this.
Did they do the sanding thing, like the cheese grater on the bottom of your feet where there's just like a pile of grated Parmesan of foot skin?
Yeah, no, they put a respirator on and like an air vent, like they were cooking at like a teppanyaki restaurant or something.
You needed welding one of mask. Those treatments where the fish come and eat the dead skin off your feet.
Yeah, like, that's what you really I see that needed. All the time.
Yeah,
I'm like, but then part of me is like, is that really good eating on there for you guys? Is that good eating? Okay,
they just give up.
You're
they
their take dream. One
bite and they're like, Jesus,
no.
Man. Yeah, yeah,
you're their
it's a
dream.
Tough. It's a
yeah,
tough.
Right.
They like, get hey, some man. Tenderizer. Yeah. I get some A1 on this. It's a little well done.
Salted a little bit before you come in. Damn.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some news. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
And we're back.
We're back.
And new broken brain just dropped. Mark Robinson, GOP candidate for North Carolina governor. I had heard tell of this man.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the specifics.
I mentioned him, you know, how Trump said, this guy's Martin Luther King times two. But he really, the beginning of that quote is, this guy's Martin Luther King on steroids.
Did he really say that?
That was the first half of that quote that I missed. Wow. I just caught him calling him Martin Luther King times two. Because again, the GOP is deploying their favorite tactic of being like, what if we got a black person to run as a Republican? And then maybe that'll excuse some of the wacky nonsense that they're going to say out of their mouth.
That's also how like businesses pitch things now. They're like, it's like this on steroids.
Yeah.
So, like that's, he's truly being like, let's think about like, Martin Luther King and meets George Washington on steroids.
Yeah, this guy's Martin Luther King. He's got terrible back acne and terrible impulse and rage control issues. Like, wait, what? But yeah, so I feel like, you know, like every election cycle, we get one or two candidates on the right that have just that extra special something, you know? And by that, I mean, yeah, an absolute freak that was raised on a diet of like Facebook shit posts and Alex Jones. And well, this cycle's freak looks to be, as we've said, Mark Robinson of North Carolina. He's the lieutenant governor. He's running for governor against the state's attorney general, Josh Stein. And man, this black man is so maggot out in the brain that he comes off like the real Uncle Ruckus from the Boondocks. I don't know if you watch the Boondocks, but Uncle Ruckus, like, that's him. Okay, before I run down a list of some of his greatest hits, I think it's important to remember that these massive culture war grievance candidates do not perform well, as demonstrated in 2022, as demonstrated by Ron DeSantis. But this is what the GOP is going with. So here's Mark Robinson on the issues. Ready? Here we go. On abortion, he won't even use the word in public, he said. And when he has used the word, he's likened it to slavery. Voting rights, he believes women should not be allowed to vote. LGBT.
Women should not be allowed to vote.
He actually believes that.
He said, we need to go back to the time when women weren't allowed to vote and before all that Me Too nonsense.
And he's already the lieutenant governor.
He's already the lieutenant governor. LGBTQ issues, the end of civilization. And has also likened them to maggots. Not very great. Civil rights movements, he said, a communist plot to overthrow capitalism. And black people actually lost freedoms.
A communist plot to overthrow capitalism?
Yeah. I mean, maybe because towards the end, I mean, you know, Martin Luther King was speaking a little bit more specifically about capitalism. But again, his main takeaway, though, is that black people actually lost freedoms during the civil rights movement. George Soros, he's the mastermind behind Boko Haram in Nigeria.
What?
The Holocaust never happened. Moon landing, fake as hell. 9/11, inside job. Michelle Obama is a man. Music industry ran by Satan. Reparations? Guess what, folks? Black people should be paying money back rather than receiving reparations.
That's just weird that, like, he got the music industry one right.
Yeah.
But, you know?
Yeah. Right. That was like, I was like, yeah. Like, you know, kind of based on what we're hearing, does not sound great.
Right.
Might not be Satan, the Prince of Darkness, Prince but of I get what you mean, that there is a darkness that hangs over the music industry. And I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, 9/11 inside job. I mean, I was 19 at one point. But
right.
This is, but yeah, so this guy turned the MAGA dial up to Jesse Helms on crystal meth. And keep in mind that, like, North Carolina voters are like, you know, they're the kind of voters that will elect a Democrat as governor, like Roy Cooper, but then also Trump will win the state as president. So they aren't always like, it's a little bit like less ideological sometimes. And, you know, while he did win the nomination, 35% of Republicans rejected him and his terrible beliefs, which is probably more likely to help Democrats down ballot than anything. But yeah, it's just this whole the black MAGA shtick is just obviously reeks of internalized white supremacy. But since, you know, white supremacists are pulling the strings politically on that side, you know, they might as well just keep thinking that, again, having a black candidate is enough to offset all the nonsense I just listed.
Every type of white supremacist we have now, you know?
Yeah, it's just, exactly. Internalized, outward, white supremacist, curious. There's all kinds that we have. But yeah, like just going down that list, you're like, how do you expect to? Okay, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen Josh Stein's, you know, what his platform is either, but it's just this is again, we're just starting to see the new all-stars of the 2024 election cycle.
Have we had a Holocaust denier like running for major office, like this major in office? That's pretty staggering. Like that's
what did David Duke run for?
That's right. Okay.
We had a literal Klan wizard, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I guess because a lot of people are like, these are things he said on his Facebook from a while back. But either way, these all come together to form the candidate that we have now. Yeah.
So he'll come through with like the watered down Holocaust denial take. I don't know what that even looks
I don't
like,
know if but, he's going to be pressed on it. But yeah, this is, it is wild to see it. Cause I mean, there was also, there was another person. I mean, Trump would always meet with these people, but yeah, running for, it's not that he's running on that platform, but he'll probably do the thing where he's like, oh, I'm not talking, but I was just old. I never said anything like that. You know what I mean? He's like, I'm trying to focus on denying people body autonomy.
Or he'll just like, you know, run wild off the page of the talking points that the Republican Party is trying to get him to stick to. You know what I mean? Because those things are so unhinged that it's not a person who can like stay focused on like messaging. It's just that is, I don't know, but how many times do I end up speechless in a day because of like some wild assault? Like, I'm like, wait, what? What?
Yeah, truly. Truly. And he was even saying like he's like, you know, Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby are being maligned, like was what his take was a few years ago. So he's, you know, he's on the wrong side of everything, basically. So, I got to love the consistency.
Yeah. He's just like, got to make sure
every single thing like, sir, reparations? Nah.
Yeah.
We need to be paying money back. I was like, how? Not even like white supremacists getting it exactly wrong. Even they are saying that. You know what I mean?
100% all the way wrong. He doesn't just want to be partway wrong. He's got to follow it through to the logical conclusion. Like this, each stance on each issue is like a logic puzzle for him where he's like, no. We got to get every single point of this as wrong
as possible. Yeah. Right. 100%. So, yeah, this is we shall see what will happen in the fall. But like I said, like having that's probably going to motivate some people to come out against him, to vote against him. But hey, I don't know.
You know,
it's 2024. We don't know anything right
sometimes
now.
Sometimes I think this stuff is about the Overton window.
Just blowing it
up. Just like make it go so extreme that the people who used to look extreme look moderate. You know, there's because that's just like, what kind of strategy is that? That's the only kind of strategy I can logically think of that would make any of that make any kind of sense.
And it's much more popular with the Republican voter, right? So they do better in the primary than they're going to do in the general, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Because like I said, 2022, there were a lot of wild election denialists, you know, full hardcore MAGA people. And majority of like, especially the people that like, these are Trump's picks, they weren't losing. And I remember at the end of the 2022 cycle, they were like, what's going on? What do we do? It's like, it's your platform and these absolute clowns that you're running out. What do you mean? What's going on? Like, have you seen what these people say out loud?
Yeah. But I remember there was a point like after 2012 where the Republicans were like, we've just got to like, you know, triangulate and become more moderate because this stuff isn't popular. And instead they went in the opposite direction and won the presidential election the next time. So, yeah, I don't know. Like on the one hand, it's like, wow, they're really digging their own grave. On the other hand, our country, there's some wild shit happening.
Yeah. So, it's weird because his campaign website, like, there's nothing about where, like, the issues. It's just, like, volunteer, events, get updates, donate, meet Mark. The first pair, like, I'm just going to read from his website. This is how you get to meet him. Quote, meet Mark. I grew up as the 9th of 10 children in Greensboro. My father was an alcoholic who beat my mother. He died when I was in the 5th grade, and I was terrified.
Damn.
Wow.
That was, like, he's coming out with that. Like, it's like, whoa, okay. a lot of heavy shit there. But then we go through, there's really nothing about like what his, you know, like the nothing that reflects just how extreme he is on anything, because he probably can't put like on the issues, abortion. It's not going to be like, won't use the word in public.
Like, right.
You can't have that. But yeah. Hey, I'm sure there's still time for the consultants to get in. But yeah, this is Donald Trump's favored pick in North Carolina. As MLK on steroids. Because I think the other thing about that, too, is Mark Robinson has said he does not like Martin Luther King also. Yeah.
Well, I mean.
Again, did you expect anything?
Yes, exactly. I mean, this guy.
Yeah, right. You know. He's 100% wrong on everything.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That guy was a commie, I guess, according to his worldview.
Overthrow capitalism, the greatest system ever known to man.
That's right. Woo. All right. A little bit about the photograph VJ Day in Times Square, famous World War II picture in which a sailor and nurse kiss on the street following news that Japan surrendered. It was temporarily, like there was a memo that went out for the Department of Veterans Affairs that was basically saying this doesn't fit the values of the VA anymore. We now know that this picture was taken, like was not consensual. And, you know, we want to foster a, quote, to foster a more trauma-informed environment, which is like, okay, where's the catch? That actually seems like y'all are doing the right thing there. And then there was a massive backlash, of course, from the right. So just to give a little bit more background on the photo, the most widely accepted theory is that it's George Mendonca and Greta Zimmer Friedman. And her account of things is that, like, while that looks like it could be confused as like a classy kiss from, like, you know, a fella
between
to his
two
special
consenting
gal. Yeah, it is in fact a headlock. And like he just walked up, grabbed her, kissed her. And this was like happening kind of all over the city, which is also why it's gotten this wider sort of reconsideration, because there was, like, on that day, sailors just running around, like, you know, kissing, groping, and like assaulting women and even like young girls, and like
fighting the cops too.
Fighting the cops. Yeah, if the cops like tried to step in, they would like fight the cops. So it was just this like horrifying event that is kind of captured in this photo that people have just sort of romanticized over the years. The VA was like, maybe we want to not do that.
Right.
Maybe not. And of course, the right has freaked out. So Jesse Waters, of course, had to weigh in. And it's just the wildest shit. I mean, it seems like it's a clip from Mad Men.
Yeah, we're talking about a photo that is just the history of it. When you talk to the people involved, like, the guy just came up and kissed me. Okay, here we go.
Does that look non-consensual to you, Julie?
She doesn't seem to be fighting it.
No.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
She's in a headlock.
She's absolutely
into it.
Look at her hands. It's like limp down. She's like, take me.
Right.
No.
And she was there when the sailors were returning from war. I mean, what did she expect?
I mean, he's an American.
What did she expect?
She's paying him back. It's
the least she could do.
I bet you that's not only she paid him back with.
Oh,
wow.
Okay, haha. Yeah, here's a footnote. In that actual photo, his wife is in the background.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
his girlfriend.
Yeah, his girlfriend that he would go on to marry is in the background of that photo. Being like, what the fuck is it? Oh, okay, George?
Yeah.
I love that they're trying to do forensic analysis on a still photo.
Yeah.
Truly, again, like, because I think all of it leads back to how, especially World War II, is like treated as this, like the one time it's okay to fucking do war. Like, that's the good one. It's the clean war. It's the good war.
Yeah.
And I think anything that begins to pick that apart, of course, they're going to begin to freak out, because then that opens up a larger discussion of what is armed conflict and what's its place in our world.
Yeah.
I also think it's just part of like the inability to reimagine our symbols, to like look at the symbols that that the country is kind of built on, and actually like think what's really going on here. What's the what are you know? And so it's just a kind of like, it's the same thing that's happening in the last several years with monuments. Like, what does it really mean to like lift these images up and these, you know, frozen moments in time? But we have to. Yeah. We have to do that work, you know?
Yeah. No, truly. And then again, we see the resistance to it, which is to completely be like, no, Stonewall Jackson was a good man.
Right.
He was a good... And he was just—he was merely on the side of you know, business and commerce. That has nothing to do with slavery or white supremacy. Oh gosh, like why do we have to begin opening this can of worms?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like, I think she was even saying, she's like, my hand was down there because I was being careful about my skirt going
trying
up.
Trying to keep my skirt from going up. Yeah.
Not because I was swooning that some man just grabbed me on the street and kissed me on the mouth.
Yeah.
And it was just wild too how like. Like for the anniversary of that, they made them repose that for that photo, like in the '80s.
Yeah,
holy shit,
1980. But anyways, so VA officials like who should maybe be taking things like this very seriously are now being like, oh, that was an error. We actually didn't mean to send that memo. You weren't supposed to get that, which is especially galling because, that was actually, we didn't even mean to send. Sorry, didn't mean to hit send.
Disregard my last email.
Disregard, didn't mean to hit send. But yeah, the VA, you would think, would want to be cleaning up their image right now, considering that they're hot off the heels of a scandal in which a whistleblower prompted an investigation into widespread sexual harassment. VA Secretary Dennis McDonough, the guy who so vehemently wants to keep the photo, was specifically accused of helping to shield allegations from the public and congressional scrutiny. So, yeah, that maybe was why they initially made the right decision, but it's apparently not going to change how much they're just going to keep their fucking head down. And
that's the least she could do. These guys just got back from fighting a war. I think the real story is, they were in the street because they thought they were about to be shipped off for the full-scale land invasion of Japan.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they found out that
And then they weren't. So they're like, oh, great.
Yeah.
We don't have to anymore. It's just like, there's just so many elements to it that like, it's just interesting how we've enshrined that image, especially to be sort of like this wholesome, like being like, and this is the wholesome punctuation. Yeah. After we've dropped atom bombs on civilians.
Yeah,
but then the minute that wholesomeness is questioned, it's like the language just becomes rapey. It's like the way it was just like a...
What's the problem?
Look at her body language. Exactly. She's asking for it. She's loving it. Look at her.
Exactly.
I bet that's not all she did. What?
Holy shit. Like,
for real?
Yeah. The version of events that Jesse Waters was setting up is that like... So that's the day that Japan surrendered, and those guys immediately got home. Like, Japan surrendered, and then they just came home from war. Yeah, they were teleported back. Yeah. Hot damn. Yeah, and like a couple hours later.
And they may have fought or whatever, but again, it's just like this weird logic, too, that suddenly that they had to be like, okay, well, if she didn't like it, then the next thing to way to justify it is that people who have fought in a war have carte blanche to do whatever they want to anybody.
Yeah. Sounds like a good policy, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we expect nothing less from Jesse Waters. I mean, like, Jesus.
Truly, just really. Thoroughly fascist. But in this case, like, I do feel like they're probably, I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of Americans are just like, don't take that one from me. Come on. That's
right.
I've seen that postcard before. Don't make me change my mind about it.
Right.
Yeah.
It was in a dang Coke commercial.
Anyways, it?
I feel like.
A recreation. I mean, that thing has been like so drilled into our brain.
Yeah.
No, truly. Yeah. Just let it go. Yeah. I mean, McLeet, your point about just the amount of like neural energy it takes to be like, can I rewire my brain to see this in a different way without it being sort of being like being the embodiment of the sanctity of World War II?
Right.
It's very tough for people. And I'm sure, like, especially for, like, these, like, Americans are like, but my grandpa was, like, one of those guys. Like, and he may have been a fucking freak, too.
My grandpa was kissing gals, and they liked it. Okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about music in the hospital. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie? Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones? Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change? Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
And we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back.
Woo.
Let's see. So there's a story. I think we covered it on this show. I know it for some reason, but about how like lighting in hospitals has been reevaluated because for so long it was just putting people off their circadian rhythm, and like sleep is such an important part of the body being able to heal itself. So there's been a whole rethinking of lighting in some hospitals, like very like,
sure,
you know, progressive ones, but like to try and give people as much sleep as possible when they're healing, when they're in hospital.
Yes, convalescing.
But people are also pointing out like sounds. The soundscape of a hospital is super annoying.
Yeah.
You know, alarms sounding on various devices. Just, it sounds like a fucking casino, like a death casino in there. It's just beeps, bloops, like ringing. And if you've ever been in there, like with a loved one, it's fucking super stressful. And like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like I can still remember the sound of like an alarm that went off when like during the birth of our first child that was like terrifying. And like, I still like, yeah. So I feel like everybody has those experiences. People who work at hospitals, like they hear those sounds in the shower, like in their sleep.
Yeah.
Like wake up hearing those sounds.
It's like the same thing when people get like the phantom, like phone vibration in their pocket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, did it beep? And you're like, no, dude, you're just so used to it that like sometimes you're just getting the phantom ones that your brain's like, I think maybe. Maybe
yeah, people have that with Slack. Know. I'm so glad that we're not like a overly Slack-based company. Because
what's that? So it's like,
I think it's Slack. I think it's like a little like kind of hollow coconut knock is the thing that I've heard.
Oh, yeah. Like if you were playing a drum kit made of pistachio shells or something.
that's the name of the sound cue.
Yeah, pistachio drum kit.
No way, man.
Pistachio kit.
Pistachios would just make a good shaker.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. If you were a tiny little like cockroach playing a pistachio drum kit, maybe.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
then it
then
would
that would
like
be bass
that.
For you.
Yeah.
Playing playing Tom Sawyer by Rush on there.
But yeah, so the omnipresence of beeping alarms in hospitals is actually detrimental, not just to the staff, but also to the patients who can't properly rest with all the noises. And also it just like blends into this like fog of sound. That
right.
makes it harder for people who work at the hospital to like recognize and be aware of because there's just so many of them. Apparently, like the alarms are only actually accurate like 15% of the time.
Or relevant 15%
of the time. Yeah, relevant 15% of the time. So yeah, the desensitization to beeps created by alarm fatigue led to quote, a reported 566 alarm-related deaths between 2005 and 2010, according to the FDA. And I mean, I'm sure that's not counting every single one of them. But,
right, right.
Yeah.
But that's interesting that they're saying, like, the solution is to have something more melodic or more musical or more, quote, percussive with, quote, short bursts of high-frequency energy, like a xylophone's ping. But I guess in a study showed that that was just like, actually it was a little bit more effective than just a doop, doop, which I guess I get.
Right. Like all of the current soundscape comes from a time when you had machines that could, like, you're like, all right, we're going to put this tiny little thing on it, sound maker thing on the machine and that it can make one sound. But now we're at a place where you don't need that. Like
you could play Tom Sawyer by Rush on there.
Miles is really pushing for Tom Sawyer by Rush.
Is that
like patient is dying?
I don't know. That's what's kind of hard, you know, because I feel like melody is so fun. I think Quincy Jones said melody is the voice of God or whatever. Mm-hmm. So to put that in like a medical context. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you want to create a bad connotation or something when suddenly someone's playing,
staying alive.
And then you're like, oh shit, like someone's crashing.
Yeah.
But you could like, here's the thing I would be worried about is that they would turn hospital sounds into like hold music. You know how like like if you give a company. Oh, that's like so who's going to make it, right? You give a company like the ability to like decide about music. It's going to be something even more awful. Like you could actually like commission some musicians to collaborate with like acousticians and doctors.
Yeah.
And make something together. That would be kind of interesting.
That would be super interesting. It would create jobs. You could have like musicians, like DJs. You know how many out-of-work DJs there are about to be? Like, an entire generation wanted to be DJs. Like, you just, every intensive care unit has a DJ that's just, like, channeling the information to, like, create, like, a soundscape that alerts everybody.
But then people are turning up too much and they're not doing their job. And
I still don't see, like, as a musician, I still don't see how you would, like, there's no way for it to not be a cacophony because it's so many people. It's so many different kinds of information. It's like there's the rhythmic at like you can't actually do it rhythmically because you would be having so many rhythms on top of each other.
Yeah, start having polyrhythms. Yeah,
but there's definitely a way to make better sounds. Just like I was thinking, like a Glockenspiel. You know how nice those are.
Yeah.
Those just like people love those. You just
wait. Which one's the Glockenspiel?
It's very like a little. Like you talked about a xylophone. Harp. It's kind of like a xylophone, but it's much more like it gets your attention, but it's gentler.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so they have studied this and they said that sounds with percussive timbre, many of which contain short bursts of high frequency energy, such as wine glasses clinking or xylophones, are actually much better for getting people's attention and they stand out from like things that are loud, flat tones that lack high frequency components, like a reversing truck's beep. I like that that's the example of the thing that doesn't get our attention.
Right.
It's a reversing truck's. You'd think you'd want to fucking like not like lock that one in, the thing that's like going to. Could just like back over an entire family of humans.
I feel like that, don't mess with that one. You know, we've all accepted.
We do know what that is. Beep, yeah.
We're like, okay, that's something backing up. Yeah. But I think maybe we have the space to do that. And like, to your point, it sounds like, McLeet, like there are artists, musicians that have been enlisted to like help make things sound better.
Yeah. Yoko K. Sen in 2017, an electronic musician who worked with healthcare companies to revamp the soundscapes in hospitals and design new sounds for at-home cardiac monitors. Even back in the 80s, people were experimenting with this. One guy came up with an elaborate series of melodies that would signal different patient problems, but doctors and nurses ultimately found it confusing, like we kind of suspected.
Right.
This is also like just as synth pop was kind of becoming popular. So I'm assuming there was like a lot of synth. Yeah. Like, it's a little synth heavy for me.
It's like, does it have to be Rocket by Herbie Hancock for this? Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that might be a little bit tough.
Dun, 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 dun. It's like, yes. Wait, what does that mean again?
Beverly Hills, if someone's Axel is full lead.
Yeah. And that idea was rejected by the International Organization for Standardization, but then they okayed another musical strategy with alarms inspired by the NBC chime, the yo-yo chant from Wizard of Oz, and then it was like a disaster.
Yeah.
They ended up having to come back and be like, so the thing we tried, while our head was in the right place, these sounds that we chose were, quote, basically terrible.
Yeah, basically terrible is
basically
awful.
Terrible is such a great thing to say about the massive decision that you went with. We ultimately went with some sounds that were basically terrible, but I don't know. Like that, this kind of came up recently when we were talking about how, like, the problem that car companies are having to solve with, you know, electric vehicles being too silent and therefore dangerous for people who don't hear them coming. And so they have been working with internal engineers, but also film scorers and, you know,
composers is the
word. Yeah, composers. Check. Yeah. They've been working with composers from the world of film to like try and create unique sound signatures. So that it makes sense to me that you would do that to hospitals, right?
Like, I mean, you could do it like thinking about the way a space sounds is good thing. Like, it is a much less high stakes environment. But have you ever been to a restaurant and it's so loud just from people talking that you can't actually hear the person in front of you?
Right.
It's like because they haven't thought at all about how sound is going to carry in that space. And then they created an experience where you're like, actually, I want to get out. Or maybe they're trying to make you get out quickly because they want to turn around turn over tables.
Yeah.
So
like
there's so much room to think about the way that sound works in our spaces and actually make life more pleasant and save hundreds of lives. Like they're saying in that report.
Because it might not just be like, well, you know, the thing is, we just got to start using ringtones like we used to back in the day. Like, this one can play, like, My Humps by Black Eyed Peas. And then this one can play I'm a Hustler by Cassidy. Remember that one featuring Jay-Z? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to, like, versus
Tom Sawyer. No.
But, like, what sonically makes sense rather than, like, just beeps and boops?
Yeah.
You know, like, is there another way that doesn't necessarily have to be music, but we are thinking of what the sound can be that cuts through, that stands out, that is clinically relevant, I think was the term that they were using.
One of the best like examples of sound design that I've ever experienced in like a physical setting was when we were in the birth ward for our children, and they had like this little like harpsichord that played basically every time a new human dropped. Like every time they're a new baby, they would just like play this thing and you would be like, a new song just dropped. Yeah.
Like a Looney Tunes thing. It was like
a harp. Yeah, wow. Like a really gentle harp sound. And that was like, hey, we just burst another one.
Right.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah, that was really nice.
It's like it's almost like a community building thing, or like a, hey, you can do it too. Or like,
yeah,
you know, it's an encouragement.
We do this all the time.
Yeah.
That is one of the most
new baby.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that. Just give
them
a nice try.
On the other end, like if they went to an ICU, every time someone dies, they get the Hans Zimmer, like, whoom, from Inception.
That's right. Cool. Which you could also do harp too, you know, just to show that it's all a cycle. Yeah.
Just that in reverse. With maybe like some whispering in reverse.
Or just to take away that sort of connotation that it's still like, it's peaceful, you know?
It is. Like, I have had the thought multiple times that like, oh, it's kind of weird that chances are the last place that you are going to be alive is in a hospital where it sounds, where it's like bathed in fluorescent lighting and sounds like a casino 24 hours a day. Like, that's kind of a weird way to go out. But feels like it's like kind of the place that most people do experience their last time on Earth. So it would be cool if you could just like kind of fix the vibes a little bit, you know?
Come on, hospitals, figure it out.
Yeah.
The vibes are fucking off in here. The lighting's fucked up. This is cacophonic. I hate it.
We got so many great musicians in this world. I'm just saying. We got one of them on this show.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. Let's get a...
Got any pitch? What would you do for instead of a beep, McLeet? What do you think?
Well, first of all, there's so many sounds that seem to me like if you think about it, the heartbeat monitor, where it's like it beeps in every, it's like a regular thing that I don't understand why that's necessary. Like, why is it? It should be that it beeps when it's irregular. Like, here's something to pay attention to.
Right.
So I would just cut out all. First thing I would do is just cut out everything that is not giving me that information, that's not giving me relevant information, right? Because it's not like the nurse is in there listening to it. I'm the one listening to it. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
So I would just cut a bunch of stuff that was, you know, or somebody tell me why is it necessary? And maybe I'm just not seeing the whole picture.
Yeah,
that's possible. Right. But then I think, I mean, I would do things in high registers like trumpets, you know, those cut a lot.
Right.
Nothing in any bass tones, but you could also have a thing where you could kind of choose, you know, like if you were a doctor and you're like, these are the sounds that like there's some kind of level of personalization you could see it into, you know,
like I only know this. I only respond to the sound of a digital cowbell on an 808. That's just all of that. Just turn it into that.
Or like, funny, or like people, like I could see a lot of light information. Like, have you ever seen like how fire alarms also flash?
Right. Mm-hmm.
For people who are hearing impaired, that's also very, that we're such visual people, that should also happen. Like, okay, there's a code blue. I want a visual flashing light, you know?
Yeah.
Huh. We got work to do.
The heartbeat monitor is pretty iconic, but it's had a good run. Like the, you know, it's a sound that has really done a good job. I don't want to just dismiss it out of hand. It's been putting in great work for many years, but
I mean, you know,
and the sound of a flatline, I mean, nothing.
Yeah. That's just, that's a little alarming. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's when a heart rate begins to like rise rapidly or decline rapidly, then like give that a sound, like to McLeet's point. But I'm not a cardiologist. I'm not a medical professional. I'm somebody who just loves the sound of a digital cowbell.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, look, my license was taken away, but that's because the state board is fucking ran by a bunch of losers who don't know what they're doing.
Run by Satan, just like the music industry. Well, McLeet, what a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Well, I got a new album dropping today, y'all. So
Find
me in all the places. McLeetMusic.com. That's also all my handles. MEKLIT Music. Yes, yes, y'all. It's called Itio Blue, the new EP.
Amazing. And is there a work of media that you've been enjoying besides your new album?
I really enjoyed the Mr. and Mrs. Smith on Amazon Prime, the Donald Glover did. It was really good.
That was fun, really good.
Yeah.
What a blast. Miles, where can people find you? What's the work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, find me on the app-based platforms at Miles of Gray. Find Jack and I on the basketball podcast. Miles and Jack at Boosties. Find me on 420 Day Fiance. Yeah, Josh Gondelman was on. What a that guy, I'm telling you. He's
telling
an
you,
absolute
this guy's
freak.
Pretty.
He's a freak. The wild nicest guy
man.
I've ever met.
Yeah.
And then also find me on 420 Day Fiance talking about 90 Day Fiance. Is there a tweet I liked? Yeah, there's a couple. One is from at JTorch1031. It says, reading way above my grade level did not get me as far in life as I had hoped. Yeah, look, it levels out at a certain point. And then another one is like, this is really only kind of funny, I think, to basketball fans. You know how like in a broadcast, you'll see the referee come over to the scores table to like explain what's going on. Like, okay, were the plays under review or whatever? Who is this? This is Jason Gallagher at JGA41AGHER. Posted a picture of that with a ref at the scores table, but looking down the camera and says, hey, can I do a Tito's and soda with extra lime? And I'll just close it out. Appreciate you, bro. Because it looks sort of like that bartender posture, like you at the bar customer posture.
He's also got his arms on display. He's really doing the lean.
Flexing the triceps, you know, y'all know what's up.
Couple tweets I've been enjoying. Andrew O at The Overdoll, who I think's been on this podcast, Andrew Overdoll. Tweeted, me to my dogs, I'm going to feed you the best food I can so you can live such long, healthy, and happy lives. Me to me, another Red Baron pizza for you, fuckface.
Another Red Baron pizza for you, fuckface.
Oh, man. And then Zach Dunn tweeted, yeah, I like West Wing, all right. West Wing on the ground with my friends.
That took me a second.
Just cute. Yeah. It's West Wing. I love West Wing. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what's the song you think people might enjoy?
I think just right out on the, well, see, it's the song that is out from the album, ETO Blue, is, I was listening to it. So we'll go off from the titular track from McLean.
Right on.
ETO Blue. The track is really dope. I love the piano playing. Like you feel the Ethiopian-ness, you know, just in the scales that are being used and the saxophone and everything. It's just for my lovers of music from across the world. I think this is a really dope track for you to get into. And if you're not, expand your horizons with the work of McLean. So this is ETO Blue from McLean.
Yeah. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this week.
Yes.
Back this weekend with, you know, some highlights from this week's shows, and then back on Monday to tell you what is trending, and we will have an expert on Tuesday. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Hey, and if you're in Austin, hit us up. We'll be
in Austin for Sunday.
Yeah, for Sunday. Hey, if you're hearing this, we're in Austin on Sunday and a little bit Monday. Where should I get a sandwich? Let me know. Austin's like king. All right. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.